liable for any claims or damages received from any product advertised within this program. Revolution Radio, where information never sleeps.
It is sad to think that sooner or later those you love will do the same for you. And you may have thought it tragic, not to mention other adjectives, to think of all the weeping they will do. But don't you worry, no more ashes, no more sackcloth, and an armband made of black cloth will someday nevermore adorn a sleeve. For if the bomb that drops on you gets your friends and neighbors too, there'll be nobody left behind to grieve, and we will all go together when we go. What a comforting fact that is to know. Universal bereavement, an inspiring achievement. Yes, we all will go together when we go. We will all go together when we go, all suffused with an incandescent glow. No one will have the endurance to collect on his insurance. Lloyd's of London will be loaded when they go. We will all fry together when we fry. We'll be French fried potatoes by and by. There will be no more misery when the world is our rotisserie. Yes, we all will fry together when we fry. We will all bake together when we bake. There'll be nobody present at the wake. With complete participation in that grand incineration, nearly 3 billion hunks of well-done steak. We will all char together when we char. And let there be no moaning of the bar. Just sing out a te deum when you see that ICBM, and the party will be come as you are.
This is Jim Fetzer, your host on The Raw Deal, where I'm delighted to be simulcasting once again with a perfect triangle.
Hello, this is
featuring Eric. My dear colleagues Giuseppe Fafangiulo and David Scarpio. We are joined by two guests, mine, Eric Thompson. Theirs, Giuseppe will introduce. Giuseppe, my friend, give us a scoop on your guest today.
Well, our guest is the legendary Russ Winter, who is the impresario for www.winterwatch.net, which is one of the go-to real news sites on the web. And Russ has been an intrepid muckraker for many years now after a successful career as an entrepreneur and in the market and such. So, Russ, welcome to the joint simulcast of the Wisdom Circle and the Raw Deal.
Glad to be here, guys. And I see you've really expanded the brain trust today. You've got the immortal James Fetzner, which is a real pleasure to touch bases with you, Jim. You've been a big inspiration to me. Influence is probably the key word. I think when I was going down the rabbit holes the other day, in the early days in particular, I used a lot of your material. So thank you for that.
Oh, Russ, that's fantastic. I'm delighted to hear it. Well, Giuseppe is such a knowledgeable guy. I'm just delighted to have you here. Why don't you begin by giving us your picture. Your big picture, what in the hell is going on in Washington, D.C., for example, before we turn to other issues?
Well, Washington, D.C. kind of looks like they might be doing a deep fake operation of some sorts. And there's a series of very sketchy events involving Biden. You know, he can't articulate anything, so they can't really bring him out much. He's never flown on Air Force One, as I understand it. Last night, he kind of had a strange sleight of hand event with some reporters that looked like he was slicing through a bunch of microphones. And, then his head disappeared. What looked like a green screen when he was coming out of a presentation, you know, when he was anointing these women's officers. He's just a weird duck. And they're kind of, I think, kind of screwing up the deep fake operations. Almost seems to me like he's wearing a super enhanced mask.
So it could be actually.
Have you guys thought about? Have you guys thought about that angle?
We've actually talked about it, shown video of somebody playing Anthony Fauci wearing a head mask. And then we had another of a Chinese or Japanese woman who had quite an impressive anatomy, but turned out to be a skinny guy wearing a fake Asian woman outfit. I mean, it was stunning, Russ. Nothing would surprise me after faking the inauguration, which was pre-recorded in multiple takes. We had women in white and pink in different locations at different times. It was being broadcast too early, still during the Trump administration, because it hadn't reached noon Eastern time yet, which meant, as I read it, it was legally invalid. And we've had a lot of fakery also where they have not been able to gain access to the White House. So they've been using television sets for a lot of these events. I think what you're talking about makes perfect sense. Giuseppe, your thoughts?
Something really bizarre is going on. It's been that way ever since they stole the election and installed the puppet groper Joe Biden in office as the third world shithole El Presidente. It's just everything is off. I mean, the other day I took a drive down to the District of Criminals and looked at that. It looks like a concentration camp around the Capitol. It's just ridiculous. And something is weird and something is definitely going on.
Are you telling me you got Chris Weiner with you too today, Giuseppe?
Yep, Chris is here.
Well, let me go to Scorpio first, and then I'll come to Chris and pick up Eric's thoughts as well. Scorpio, yours. Have we lost Scorpio?
No, I'm Russ. Here. Actually.
Scorpio's okay. In.
Lay on.
Chris, why don't you go ahead and go first?
Yeah, I agree with you guys. There's definitely some bizarro world stuff going on. Yeah, I think it's part of the Masonic Duper's Delight Theater, the Kabuki stuff they always put on, and the insiders know what's up, and the uninitiated or the profane remain puzzled or guessing or using instruments or figments of their imagination to try to fill in the voids while they send up their propagandists. So, yeah, I'm getting real bad echo. I don't know if you guys are too. I might drop out and see if I can come back in.
No, we can't hear it. We can't hear it, Chris. It's fine. Good. Go ahead.
Okay, good. Maybe. Yeah, I'm getting like a double back from you guys. So
put on some earphones.
It sounds fine. Scorpio, you want to add some thoughts? Okay, Scorpio, you want to add some thoughts?
Yeah, well, Russ, good to talk to you, and Jim, you as well. This is we do have a brain trust going on here. I don't know what kind of brain, but it's a brain trust. It's incredible. It seems to me that part of this Joe Biden operation, too, is to completely make the office of the presidency somewhat irrelevant. Just like you can stick any old fool in there and put a pin in his hand and have him sign executive orders, and that's good enough. So it seems to be a direct attack on the office of the presidency in some way. I don't know. What are your guys' thoughts?
I got to add, by the way, that the recent moves Biden's been making, including attacking Vladimir Putin and claiming he's a killer who has no soul, and sending American troops into Syria, which appears to be taking place, suggests to me he's actually adopted wholesale an Israeli foreign policy, I would suggest, is dictated by Bibi Netanyahu. Eric, would you like to toss in a few thoughts?
Oh, yeah, sure. Thank you. First of all, I'm thrilled to be here with you guys, a bunch of smart guys. It's great. I feel like I know you guys. You're in my house every day, even though you don't know it. Anyway, I think there's something almost intentional. It's so bad what they're doing, this fake presidency thing, because it is fake. I mean, there's no way it's a real presidency when the White House lights are out every night at whatever time it is that they're shutting them off automatically. There's nothing going on over there. That guy videotaped the other day the big event in the Rose Garden, and there was no one in the Rose Garden. He was live across the street. You guys reported on that the other night, I know, and I had picked it up from State of the Nation or something already. But the thing is, there is something so bad about it, it almost seems intentional. Could it be? I don't know. But it is very strange. And Biden, that's not Biden, really, do you think? I don't think
no,
it's Biden.
I've been calling since from the time that Giuseppe Scorpio and I watched the first debate, I've been calling him out as a body double. It appears not to be Joe Biden. He has a narrower skull. He's got the wrong ears. He has brown eyes. Biden had blue. The interaction with Jill was also quite different because normally when she was with the real Joe, they were arm in arm, hand in hand. She would be just beaming. He would have this shit-eating grin on his face. But when she's with this body double, it's completely different. They're not making physical contact. She looks concerned like they're going to be outed. He has no grin on his face. Even when the inauguration took place, shocking to me, she did not look up beamingly at who was supposed to be her husband at the highest moment of his career. Had that been the real Joe, it would have been completely different. Russ, let's come back to you. Add more or talk about what's going on with a coronavirus pandemic.
Well, I'd like to weigh in on the intentional theory because I think that's dead right. In fact, it's been going on for some time. This is nothing new. And I just think they're engaged in institutional, just taking one institution down after another, the presidency and the police, you know, education. You know, there's these rather ridiculous sanctions against China, Russia, and Iran seem very ill-conceived. Particularly when they just released or declassified the results of simulations, war simulations, war gaming, that showed that the United States would lose a war against China. So why would Dementia Joe do this? It's almost kind of a precursor to Pearl Harbor type of behavior.
Those are good observations.
Can I add something too about Joe?
Sure.
About Joe Biden. I think that it's not Joe Biden because I think Joe Biden, first of all, of course, we all know he's basically incapacitated. But secondly, this guy has to be acting all the time. Obviously, what they've got here is an actor.
Yeah, I think that's
exactly. He was pretending to sign executive orders, but I saw a photograph, and, you know, it's hard to tell exactly. It's from a little ways off, but it looked like it was a blank piece of paper under his hand.
Yes, and he was, go ahead.
No, that's it, good.
Oh, it's all good, Giuseppe, your thoughts.
Well, Jim, I think that if you look at the 110-year assault by the internationalist Jew beginning back in the early 20th century by Theodor Herzl, Moses Hess, Samuel Untmeyer to wedge in the Federal Reserve. And ever since then, it's the international Jew is like a cancer, a malignancy, and they've gradually been gaining in power and traction in the United States to the point now where they literally, this is a stage four malignancy. They control every body of the national government, including the military, and they control the banks, the transnational corporations. And they literally are just toying with the citizenry of the United States now, and installing a puppet facade is just another way of this insidious mind control program to steer the sovereign republic of the United States into the Great Reset, the new normal, which is going to be a North American Union, and then eventually a one world government with at first two binary poles, one in Beijing, one in Jerusalem. But just like that old great movie from the 80s, Highlander, there can only be one. And that one is going to be Jerusalem serving the Rothschild demonic banking cartel.
That's a pretty bleak outlook there. Chris, why don't you give us your thoughts and we'll go to Scorpio. Chris.
Yeah, no doubt. Why and how would the United States possibly lose war games to China? You got to think about that. How has the United States been undermined from within and by whom? Who have consistently betrayed the United States by basically revealing and selling not only intellectual property, but military secrets and even positioning the production of goods into China away from American production from within? And this is done through Wall Street and Jewish banking, and it's done out of loyalty towards London and the United Kingdom and the United Nations. So China buying up companies like Smithfield, you know, domestically, the amount of billionaires that have been positioned in Hong Kong after entire centuries of humiliation in China by these very same forces to put this infrastructure into China. You know, everybody wants to go and blame the Chinese people, but they are just as screwed and just as held hostage as the American people or any other nation on earth under these United Nations guidelines and this largest military cabal on earth that enforces these guidelines. So I really think it's important to point these things out and also point out the culture that has been created and socially engineered, if not through Palantir and Fangs now, but even the stuff that's done through Hollywood and the yellow crow journalism, as I call it. It's like yellow journalism and Jim Crow mixed. To not only incite domestic instability, but also to justify foreign aggression. So I think that these guys used these instruments in the past century to bring in things like the Fed, the income tax, to bring us into World War One, the series of war bonds to create the League of Nations. They did World War II to create the UN. And now they're creating this one world government with this whole technocracy behind it. So look at who owns the intellectual property. Look who's making the money. Look who's mobilizing the debt or credit. And I'd have to say that it's all tied into the people that are trying to usher in crypto and these other illusions of value.
Scorpio, your thoughts?
Well, Jim, I just wanted to add on to something that Russ brought up about, you know, why is Biden, you know, poking the Chinese and stirring up trouble? But, you know, if our military is being intentionally demoralized and feminized. You know, you can't have good morale within the military when you have, you know, women in high positions when they're not qualified. They don't have the physical strength to be part of the any kind of elite team of soldiers. Let's just be honest here. And, you know, if you look at what the Chinese are doing, they're actually bragging that they're masculinizing their military, making it more forceful and more masculine. Look at Russia's military, very masculine, very strong, very tough. I think what's happening is America is essentially being set up to be conquered on multiple levels. And by using this fake woke idea that, oh, we're all one, we're all equal, we're all the same. This is how they're going to essentially bring forth the downfall of America and set it up to be conquered either militarily or economically or both. So I think this is a deliberate plan to bring America down, all under the guise of equality and, you know, aren't we wonderful because we accept trannies and we have, you know, transsexuals and women's sports. This is all obviously just to destroy the culture and destroy the strength of the country to be conquered.
It is bizarre beyond belief. Eric, your thoughts?
Well, yeah, sorry, my mind was actually wandered off to something else for a minute. Why are we being emasculated? The entire country is being emasculated over and over in multiple ways. Are we being set up to be taken down? I think that's clear enough. Has it been in the plans for, since about 1913? I suppose that's probably true. It seems like these guys have a lot of patience, whoever's behind this, and that they've been working on this for generations, and that maybe this has really been planned. Well, you know, sometimes people are talking about this haven't been planned since the country was created. Just so happens that one of the major, what is it, the Scottish Illuminati that was created the same year as the United States. It seems like this has been set up for a long, long time, and that how it is, though, that the people falling for it, that's what gets me. I mean, why are the people of the United States allowing it to happen? That's where my mind was wandering. It was wandering to that. All I can think about is the media, you know. The media is on my brain. The American people shouldn't be falling for this stuff. I mean, we should be standing up. I mean, normal people. But, I mean, I look around me, and everyone around me is buying into this stuff.
Eric, I mean, the average family's having a tough time getting food on the table, keeping a roof over their head. And if they hear the same report from two or three different networks, say CNN, NBC, what have you, they tend to think that's independent confirmation, when in fact they're all coming from the same script. Yeah. Russ, your thoughts?
Well, just add one more causa proxima for the decline of the military. They've been chasing terrorist boogeymen all over the world and just squandering money on that and surveillance, the Middle East operations. So that's just wasted a lot of resources. Combine that with the social engineering projects and poor quality recruits. That pretty much sunk the military. So the other curiosity that I've been thinking about lately is that isn't it interesting that the scamdemic started in China and then spread around the world, particularly hitting the West, Europe, places like that, certain areas of the United States. And now, for some reason, China is in pretty strong shape. How'd that work? How did you get that end result is the question I'd ask.
That's a very good point, Russ. Giuseppe, your thoughts?
Well, I would like to add to Russ's excellent point in service to the greater Israeli project with invading these countries who were no threat to the United States but were perceived as a great threat to Israel and its plan to go from the Euphrates to the Nile and have casinos on every corner. And the other thing to address Eric's point as far as how are the American people not rising up, well, because the American people have been put to sleep decades ago, starting with the mind rapist Edward Bernays, Shlomo Freud's nephew, and ongoing through the Stanford research, his decades of research on mimetic warfare. There are so many layered, devious assaults on the brain of the average American schmo that the divide and conquer strategy, the paranoia strategy, the constant fear strategy of be afraid of the Soviet Union, be afraid of the Wahhabi terrorists, be afraid of the nano terrorists, the new coronavirus. It can be in you at any time. There's so much that has gone on with the globalist entertainment mind raping complex, and now you've got to the point where there is no news. There's only gas. Lighting, and you roll that all up into a ball, and that is what's being rammed down the throat and up the pooper of the American public, and that's why nobody's rising up, because they are so locked down and hypnotized they cannot rise up.
And there's so domestic terrorists on that list too.
Right.
I'm convinced the Zionists who control our mainstream media went all in for Biden and against Trump because they recognize Biden is totally pliable, doesn't have any cognitive competence. They can control Biden in particular to bomb Iran. Trump clearly was not going to do that. So they shifted their allegiance in spite of his generosity to Israel. Scorpio, your thoughts?
Well, Jim, I was going to add on to something that Russ said, but it seems to have slipped my mind now. Yeah, you guys go ahead. I'm sorry.
All right, Chris, go for it, Chris.
Well, yeah, I think that it's important to point out that, traditionally speaking, these robber barons that have always been at war with human labor and trying to industrialize the world under slave wages have always put out these offerings through intelligence agencies, through initial alphabet agencies, whether it's the FBI, the CIA, the ADL, the JDL, working together on things like the COINTEL program or even the PATCON conspiracies in the 90s or some of the civil rights stuff in the 60s as well, creating things like the SPLC and NAACP or BLM or Antifa, and creating domestic instability and sensationalizing it with the full assist of the media on many of these false flag operations. This is a psychological warfare operation against the American public, and it has been ongoing for a long period of time. And these are the private interests that are behind not only the profit on the problem, the reaction, but the solution, more importantly. So we got to look at like the vaccine being the end game and delivering this nanotech, and the virus is really something they haven't even been isolated or proven exists in theory. So I think that really this is part of just a sensationalized hype to deliver us to the end game. And I think that it's to cover up for the reset, put us on crypto, restructure the debt, all these things that they've been wanting to try to do. It's perfecting the technocratic slave system. And I think that's what they're doing here.
I think that's exactly right. Eric, would you agree?
Yeah. I mean, the COVID, it doesn't exist, and yet everyone's buying into this. I even have an article I printed out this morning that maybe I can, read a snippet to you later. But this whole thing is a fake, and it's just sort of mind-boggling to me. People do buy it. another thing that I was thinking about is how we're still talking about this country and that country and this group and that group. But there's really only one group up there at the top. I mean, I don't think that, obviously, the Chinese people don't know what's going on. The American people don't know what's going on. You know, the Norwegians don't know what's going on. But somewhere up there at the top, someone is running the whole show. And it's that's who we need to find out and get rid of them. I think, sorry, we've got to find them out and snuff them out. But anyway, that's all I've got to add for that.
Of course, Russell, Chinese society is totally governed from the top down, and it appears that's the model they want to impose on the United States. Russ, your thoughts about this and other issues?
Well, I think the drivers of this thing are what I call them the crime syndicate, and they're essentially plutocrats. There's a plutocrat class that run these foundations and really push some very satanic agendas. And I might take a few extra minutes just to kind of mention one project that's underway. And that's this ethnic studies model curriculum that's being introduced in California. Have you guys come across that?
Go for it, Russ.
Okay, we've got a band of fifth columnists known as the California State Board of Education is preparing to vote on a Marxist plot next week that is going to institutionalize the principles of critical race theory and its related ideologies and radically change the state's 10,000 public schools, which serve 6 million children. And there's a guy by the name of Tolika Kuautin. And I like to name names. Maybe I get myself in trouble sometimes for that.
It's good.
Yeah. He's the original co-chair of this ECMC. And he's got this delusional material regarding early American history from this book that he wrote called Rethinking Ethnic Studies. Now, essentially, he's going to teach these young kids in California, probably starting in middle school, that the United States is founded on Eurocentric, white supremacist, racist, anti-black, anti-indigenous, capitalist, patriarchal, sexist, misogynist, patriarchal, homophobic, anthropocentric paradigm brought in from Europe. So that's a mouthful, but essentially it's the Marxist pedology of the oppressed. And what I really find amazing about these guys is they're quick to go after whitey or whiteness, but they very rarely weigh in on the bankster class or the plutocrat class, and neither did Karl Marx. I mean, if you really understand Karl Marx, he hardly laid a glove on the banksters because they were buttering his toast. And they've got a concept called zombification, which I kind of believe is a good concept. Mind control is part of my own worldview. But the problem is that they just hold it specific to minorities and doesn't apply to all races, including whites who are put on the plantation. So that's this Hegelian divide and conquer. You know, you split the whites off as a group that you can persecute now. They've got this very strange Aztec worship going on. So they've got, you know, you have these, to quote Kuautin, he says, the goal is to engineer a counter-genocide against white. That's right there in the material that's going to be brought into the coursework. That's pretty incredible.
And when they say counter-genocide, they mean a genocide against whites. This is all just reeking of racism. These groups, Democrats, Antifa and the like, even Black Lives Matter, who claim to be anti-racist, are actually promoting a virulent strain of anti-white racism.
Let me just finish. These guys have gone so far as to create a curriculum where you have an official ethnic chant, community chant, where students appeal to Aztec gods, including the gods of human sacrifice, for the power to become warriors for social justice. So you're going to be start worshiping probably one of the lower forms of humanity on the planet and throughout history, the Aztecs, who sacrificed one out of every five child and 250,000 people a year at the peak of their temple sacrifices. That's who they look up to.
There's something I need to interject. Russ made a key point when he mentioned the community chant. This all makes sense when you understand that the plutocrat, the internationalist Jew, is implementing a new strategy called communitarianism, which is a deadly, malevolent hybrid of Zionist capitalism and communism, wearing a fuzzy sweater that champions all the victims, and everybody except Whitey is a victim. And in communitarianism, they always blame they deceive and point to the majority in the country as the villain, not the plutocrat who is the true villain. And it's no more a perfect example than the ridiculous initiative of reparations for slavery. I need reparations. And the funny thing is. The internationalist Jew owned all the slave ships. The internationalist Jew owned the slave trades. They would shut down the slave auctions on Jewish holidays. The internationalist Jew at the height of slavery owned 85% of all Jews in the United States. White people. I'm sorry. You're right. Right. Yeah. White people never owned more than 4%. I mean, the people who are the descendants of slave owners at best are 4% of the population. So Tyrone and Shaniqua should go to the Federal Reserve and demand reparations there.
Well, you know, I find all this profoundly disturbing, having been born in Pasadena, graduated from South Pasadena High School, growing up in Southern California. Because this agenda is to radicalize millions of young students with this anti-white agenda. It's appalling. Scorpio, if you're available, give us your thoughts.
Well, yeah. It just seems clear this is an attack essentially on Western culture. And, of course, white people created Western culture, so that needs to be destroyed. And let's just bring the most unqualified people to the top. And again, I think this is a giant setup for America to be conquered by a new system, and it'll be manifested through China. China was, you know, built up by the parasitical elite class for at least the last 50 years. So I don't think that China is some rogue threat. It's the best enemy money can buy. And if you notice, China does not have a multicultural society. Far from it. They have the opposite of it. It's a monoculture society, essentially, and they're directing that as a force to take over and implement the Chinese system worldwide, and they have the full backing and support of the parasitical elite class, I believe.
I think that Biden going on with Stephanopoulos and declaring that Vladimir Putin has no soul, and now sending U.S. troops into Syria to provoke Iran and Russia, is to create a monster distraction, divert attention from China, which is the real threat. Chris, your thoughts?
Let's look at one thing about Putin. When did the media really turn on Putin? Because if you remember back during the Bush administration, Bush said something like, oh, I looked into Putin's eyes and I see a good soul or something like that.
No soul.
And the globalists turned on Putin, really did a 180 when Putin kicked out all of the NGOs out of Russia, because he knew, as an ex, intelligence guy, he knew the NGOs were just rife and packed full of intelligence operatives, and they were used as sort of a quasi-governmental organization to, change the country from within. Then the other big sin that Putin did that really made the media hate him is he said, hey, we're not going to allow homosexual propaganda to be shown to children. There's homosexuals, that's well and good, but they're not going to be around children, and they're not going to influence our children, and we're not going to make homosexuality part of the mainstream of Russia. And of course, he reinvigorated the Eastern Orthodox or the Russian Orthodox Church. These are all major sins in the eyes of the globalists.
I regard Putin is the only true statement astride the world stage. Chris, your thoughts?
Yeah, I have to agree. I think that really, if you look at these countries like China and Russia, these are two places where the internationalist Jew and the bankers of London have infiltrated, corrupted the government, and infiltrated and run this optic of a Cold War, where they were pretty much the middlemen selling to both ends and playing them against the middle. And really, if you look at this environment, they're doing the same thing now, putting American and foreign civilizations against one another in the either political or economic or religious marketplaces, so to speak, and turning about under different theatric pretenses. But really, it's a cover fire for them doing resource extraction and labor extortion. So, and really outsourcing labor for robotics and AI now. So I think that really these technocrats that have always been at war with human labor are now trying to do away with human labor, and then even play two of the largest labor forces against one another in the international theater, India and China, and create this environment of tension where they flourish because everybody's suspicious of one another instead of really going after the culprits that are playing all these constructs against each other. And these nations are really the essential economies of the people that live in them. And unfortunately, they're being forced or extorted into compliance with this nationalism as well, against their own best interest or their own neighbors at the behest of this cabal. It's all inversion and illusion. And I think that really the credibility of these people are being not only exposed, but it's also showing, you know, how far along they've infiltrated with this corona hoax.
Well, I think those are all excellent points. And it goes along, I believe, the increased dependence on robotics with the desire to reduce the world's population by up to 90% or more. Turns out Edwin A. Deagle, who ran the Deagle.com website, projecting a diminution in U.S. population from 330 million in 2020 to less than 100 million in 2025, has just met his maker, died on February 16th. Eric, your thoughts?
Well, I didn't know that. He died, huh?
That Wolfowitz?
Yeah. Oh, sorry. I don't know if that's good or bad.
Deagle.
I didn't know he had died, but I don't know if he was, would he have been taken out, or is it a good thing or a bad thing? At least through him, we were being given clues. Now we're not going to get the clues, right? Hope someone took over.
I agree. Who knows? It could even have been for publishing his projection about losing 230 million Americans in less than 5 years. I would think the deep state, the Illuminati, whoever, the World Economic Forum cannot be happy about that being projected in less than 5 years hence, because everyone who's ever seen those numbers is thereby alarmed. Continue, Eric.
Yeah, well, yeah.
Can I skip in real quick?
Well, I mean,
Russ, go ahead.
Go ahead, yeah.
Okay, yeah, I was at Wolfowitz when he was World Bank president, wrote a memo in 2005 about the expectation of the United States population being 62 or 67 million, something like that. And he caught all kinds of shit and really started – really people started tying Israel to 9/11 at this point. And they scrubbed that from the ranks of Google, and it's good luck finding that memo now. But they adopted that population expectation. They adapted it like three different times. They adjusted it in 06, again in 08, again in 10, and then they scrubbed it. So I just want to put that in your point as well. Sorry to interrupt.
Great point, Chris. Eric, continue.
Oh yeah, well that's mind blowing. I mean, I'm living in California, so this kind of hit home. The Aztec chant thing. Oh my goodness, that is so sickening. I could not believe I just heard that. Mind blowing. That this is very bad. And in California, they might get away with it, I guess. Oh, by the way, Russ, you can name names. He's a public figure. He's asking for it.
Oh, sure. Absolutely. Yeah, Russ.
Don't worry. I name names all the time.
Go ahead and name a few
probably more than anybody on the planet, I feel, sometimes. But, yeah, you know, I used to kind of scoff at this population reduction stuff. Even a few years ago, I kind of used to scoff at it. But the story with these Aztecs, the kind of overlap what's going on. There's still debate as to what social groups constituted the usual victims of these sacrifices. And the reason there's a debate is they're pretty indiscriminate. They were disposable commoners, foreigners, people they didn't like, slaves. The slaves were not a permanent class, but rather people from any level of Aztec society who had fallen into debt or committed some crime or pissed somebody off. So this is just totally consistent with Bolshevik ideals. It's a dead match for Bolshevism in the Russia in the 1920s, that period in there.
I don't think.
Yeah, I'd like to make a comment about the Russian thing.
The bond markets, Venice. The Europeans have been enslaved under the bond market for like centuries, and really the white Europeans are the only ones that fought against this enslavement. Most of these other people have capitulated to it.
Nice. Yeah, Giuseppe, did you want to add?
Oh, I just think it's it's a classic Mossad operation to take down this country. By deception, we will wage war. And the deception is that the decent, stable, white majority of this country is the evil villain who's preying upon these victims. Oh, I got the feels for these minority victims. When in reality, the true malignant parasite, the true satanic evil is going to skirt and actually enhance their power, that being the globalist parasite, the internationalist Jew.
Well, you know, it occurred to me there's a parallel here with Charles Manson's Helter Skelter, where he wanted to provoke a war between the races, and he believed that because the blacks were stronger, they'd take out the whites, even though the whites were more intelligent, they'd then need someone to rule, and Charlie would come out of the mountains with his crew to offer themselves. I think that these Israeli zealots may be contemplating a similar situation, wipe out white Anglo-Europeans, and then whatever remains is going to need leadership, which is going to be offered by the brain trust in Israel. Scorpio, your thoughts?
Oh, I think that's true. Yeah, because there's never any mention of Jewish privilege or, you know, Jewish role in slavery, when in fact they ran it. They owned the slave ships. They ran the slave markets. That's all, you know, left out of the history and out of the conversation. And look, we have, you know, these Zionist Jews that essentially control the parameters of almost every political conversation we engage in. And they're setting the stage for, you know, anything they don't like is hate speech. And they've already enacted these laws in full force in Europe. I mean, people go to jail for even questioning the so-called Holocaust, even though there's enough holes in that story to drive a truck through. It's quite incredible. And, you know, they already have some very odd buildings in Jerusalem. You know, Tex Mars, in his book, Strange Monuments, had some pictures of some buildings that he believes are going to be used as the new headquarters for the world government. It will not be the United Nations in New York. It's going to be in Jerusalem. And that's one reason why it was so important to make Jerusalem, the capital of Israel, to the Israelis. And of course, Trump gave them that, as well as many other things.
That's all profoundly disturbing. Chris, your thoughts?
Well, I have a lot. Yeah, I think we're really seeing a history that we've been unaware of unfolding before our eyes. And this occultic, esoteric initiation or Masonic religion that's being kind of socially programmed not only into the dialogue but to the shows that are on Amazon and all these things, and even to the technocratic agendas. So this is like a new Atlantis type effect that seems to be manifesting itself, and it really is lining up like with things like the Kali Yuga or the Dharma wheel, you know, the life cycles of every 12,000 years going through a golden age back to a dark age to a golden age. And really, I think that this could, in fact, be history repeating itself. And, you know, when you get into like the 12 tribes of Israel and you get into further back, like the 12 tribes of Egypt or Atlantis or some of these other concepts, maybe you can start tying connections to these people and who they truly are and what they truly represent. And they are certainly not representing this to the people that they're trying to influence with their political and religious theater. I'll say that.
Well, to pick up on a point Scorpio was making about massive censorship, the American people seem not to understand that the First Amendment was intended to protect hate speech. It was intended to allow people to utter unpopular opinions that maybe the vast majority would disagree with. That is the whole point. Popular speech doesn't require any protection. So they just manufactured this new category of hate speech, and sad to say, they played a rather large segment of the American people, I'd say among the Democratic Party, probably 90% or more. Outrageous. Eric, your thoughts?
Globally, they've gone to like this Congress of Vienna type thing where they're at war with popular sovereignty. It seems to be the case since 1812, and it's seems to be no different anywhere you look. I'm sorry to jump in, Eric, but
No, no problem, Chris.
Good.
Great.
That's good. Eric.
Yeah. Anytime you want to jump in, Chris, that's fine. You got a lot of stuff to say, and I like it. Thanks, I was just going to point out that it's odd, this group that, you know, so Chris did allude to something that I was going to talk about. He's alluding to this group of people that you can go back to the 12 tribes of then, and then you can go back to, he even brought up Atlantis, right? Who's running this has chosen to use Judaism as their home base, as their home plate. But they're not Jews. I mean, they are murdering Jews right now with those vaccines. There are more Jewish people dying than anywhere.
And, well, we don't know that's a fact.
Well, I guess well, not.
But, Giuseppe, it's being widely reported. We even have the treating Israel as the world's lab from the Pfizer CEO. Israel has the largest percentage reported to be vaccinated, over 53%. And now individuals, groups in Israel filed a complaint at The Hague with the International Criminal Court.
To which my reply is...
For violations of...
To which my reply is, oh, the perpetual victim.
Well, Giuseppe, I don't think this requires a slightly more discriminating approach. There are lots of mixed opinions in Israel. There are a lot of Jews who aren't Zionists and who don't buy into the agenda. So I think you're underestimating the significance of this criminal court complaint, which The Hague has accepted, and I expect a rule upon in relatively short order. Eric, further thoughts, and then we'll come back to Russ.
Well, Eric. I mean, apparently Bibi Netanyahu, he made a deal with the drug company to produce that vaccine without letting the Israelis even know that he made it. In other words, Bibi is not really a Jew. I don't think he cares about the Jews. He's part of that next circle up. And then there's someone over that circle, I would imagine. But in any case, I just was on my mind was that the Jews, we keep bringing them up, but it's not really Jews that we're talking about. It's just they've identified, the bad people have identified themselves as Jews, and it works out for them because they certainly have impeded on our First Amendment rights by using that group. I don't know if they could have done it as well with another group or not, but that's the group they chose. Meanwhile, the other group they chose, of course, is the blacks, the BLM. And another thought I had on that, that's basically our version of NGOs over here, the BLM, the Antifa. We got the same thing happening right here that has been happening, that we've been, doing to other countries. It's smart of Putin to do what he did, and we need to do the same thing, but our elected leaders, I don't think I've really been elected. They've been set in there.
Antifa and BLM have functioned as a voter recruiting arm of the Democratic Party, and where you make the contribution to BLM, it goes right to Act Blue and into the pockets of Beto O'Rourke, Elizabeth Warren, and other scumbags on the far left. Russ, your thoughts?
Well, the story on the hate speech is really problematic because it doesn't allow your society to engage in any kind of corrective behavior. You're just locked into some official party line, and if you break out of that, I mean, how can a society adjust? How can it correct things? And then you got the media that just feeds into it and silences anybody that's not on the official story. And so what you get is a situation. I'll give you an example because I got an article on my site where I looked into this, and I covered it, I think, a little bit on our last show on the Wisdom Circle. But the Skeptic magazine did a survey of liberals, conservatives, people, had people self-identify across the political spectrum. And they asked them how many unarmed blacks did they think that police killed in 2019? And the liberals, 40% of them, or 44% of them, thought it was over 1,000. And 8% of the very liberals thought it was over 10,000 killed by police in 2019. The conservatives thought it was 20% of the conservatives thought it was 20%. The actual number, drum roll, 13.
It is. It's staggering. And most crimes in the United States is black-on-black crime. Black-on, which is just overwhelmingly, staggeringly more frequent. I mean,
if you had a real fourth estate, then they would close the gap of these misconceptions versus reality. But instead, they amplify it. So that's telling you right there You know, it's the Lugan press.
It's not a real media. And it's paralleled with coronavirus statistics, where we know 95% of the so-called cases are false positives, and the number of true cases may be as close to zero, because I'm inclined to agree with you that this is actually a non-existent pandemic. I mean, the virus has never been isolated. If it's never been isolated, they can't develop a vaccine. So the whole thing is a hoax, and the so-called vaccine doesn't even properly qualify. As Catherine Austin Fitz has observed, it's injectables. And what they're injecting is something you do not want in your body, Giuseppe.
Well, Jim, this is an absolute population culling by the oligarchs. And I would like to revisit your observation that this requires a more nuanced approach. Well, look at what the Zionists have achieved with the lies of the Holocaust, and now I'm going to have to believe that, oh, the poor victims of Israel, we took so many injections, now please give us shekels for our pain. I mean, I don't believe it, and this is just another in a constant line of lies by the people who lie as often as they breathe.
But particularly if they start promoting themselves as the model for the world to use, that's your giveaway that you're right, Giuseppe.
Anyone can go to my blog at jamesfetzer.org and read the blog about International Criminal Court The Hague accepted COVID-19 complaint of violation of Nuremberg Code by Israeli government. Now, the reason I hold Giuseppe to be mistaken in this instance, so generally not, is because if they were successful, it would create a major problem if the International Criminal Court declares that these coerced vaccinations, including by employers and pressure applied by the government, are violations of the Nuremberg Code. That's why I believe you have to recognize there's an independent group. They call themselves People of Truth, who have filed the complaint, and they've been joined with others. I believe this is currently the most important case before any court in America. Scorpio, your thoughts? I should say in the world, any court in the world.
About 10 minutes ago, you mentioned Black Lives Matter. The woman that actually controls the funding, all the money that comes in, is Susan Rosenberg, the woman who literally did bomb the Capitol building for real, not this, self-guided tour that they're accusing people of domestic terrorism today. This woman actually set off a bomb and damaged the Capitol building. And, she was pardoned by Bill Clinton. And now she's actually in charge of the monetary flow coming into Black Lives Matter. So, you know, it seems like wherever you scratch, Jewish person seems to appear. And as far as the Holocaust happening in Israel right now, the problem I have is we're at a point where we really can't believe a single statistic that comes out with these vaccines. You know, everything about COVID has been obfuscated with lies and deception and phony statistics. So I think we should be cautious in believing these statistics. They might be real, they might not. But one thing the media has been doing is touting and praising Israel for leading the way with the new system, with these green passports, and essentially setting it up so that if you don't take the shot, your life is over. You can't participate in society anymore. So we'll just have to see how this plays out. But I just don't think we should believe any statistics we hear regarding COVID right now.
Exactly. I agree completely. I just want to point out that there's a group in Israel that is protesting what's going on. They're not compliant. They're not singing the same tune. And by the way, in relation to the World War II, check out my piece, The Holocaust Narrative, Politics, Trump's Truth, which you can find online. Russ, we're coming to the end of the first hour. I certainly hope you can stay to join us for the second. Either way, I want to give you the opportunity for your thoughts at this very point in time before we come to the break. Russ.
Well, I said I think I'll stay around for the second hour. It might be kind of challenging for me. I might run out of things to say, but I'm picking up a lot of good stuff here.
most unlikely you run out of things to say. Eric, I can squeeze
I kind of agree with the idea that they might be using Israel as the model, and that's trickery. That's sophistry if that's what happens. But like you say, we'll see. But it seems that that's the promotion. You know, take one for the team like Israel.
Well, I think it's propagandistic in its intent. But the fact is that you have an outspoken group. I mean, Jews are not homogeneous. I mean, they love to bicker and dispute almost any issue. And this is a biggie right now in Israel. Eric, I want to give you a chance to squeeze a few words in before we hit the break.
Yeah, sure. Well, just one more thing about the, you know, since we're on the Israeli vaccine thing. It is true that it's very hard to believe not just what comes out of Israel, but what comes out of anywhere anymore. Enough fake news is out there to fill all the voids. But there is one way that this could be a setup. I mean, I was thinking the more obvious route that, of course, you know, if they're suing in court and, you know, the court rules against the forced vaccinations, then, of course, that's bad for their plans. But I guess what could be happening, to give Giuseppe credit, it could be that what they're doing is setting it up to lose in the court.
No,
actually make an example.
It's not going to happen. They're not going to lose in the court. Meanwhile, I want everyone to notice you now had an illustration of the brain trust we put together. There's no doubt that was an apt description. Stick around for the second hour with Giuseppe Vaffanciullo, David Scorpio, Russ Winter, Eric Thompson, Chris Weiner, and yours truly, Jim Fetzer. We'll be right back after the break. Glad you're here. Stick around. You don't want to miss a minute of this today.
I better switch phones in case this battery goes bad.
Was it a conspiracy? Did you know that the police in Boston were broadcasting, "This is a drill, this is a drill," on bullhorns during the marathon? That the Boston Globe was tweeting that a demonstration bomb would be set off during the marathon for the benefit of bomb squad activities? And that one would be set off in 1 minute in front of the library, which happened as the Globe had announced. Peering through the smoke, you could see bodies with missing arms and legs. But there was no blood. The blood only showed up later and came out of a tube. They used amputee actors and a studio-quality smoke machine. Don't let yourself be played. Check out And Nobody Died in Boston Either. Available at moonrockbooks.com. That's moonrockbooks.com.
That the Capitol will ever treat us fairly. You are lying to yourselves. Because we know who they are and what they do. This is what they do, and we must fight back. You can torture us and bomb us. Fire is catching. And if we burn, you burn with us.
Good evening.
Are you awake yet? I hope. We've tried and we've tried for years and years to use passive resistance and loud voices to make a change. But time
is over. Your governments around the world have no other goal than to decimate your entire existence at the hands of the bankers and the elites. The war is coming, and it's your choice to decide if you want to be a warrior or a victim. Denial is not a choice anymore. Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, the number one listener supported radio station on the planet, not giving up. Revolution Radio.
Even the government admits that 9/11 was a conspiracy. But did you know that it was an inside job? That Osama had nothing to do with it? That the Twin Towers were blown apart by a sophisticated arrangement of mini or micro nukes? That Building 7 collapsed 7 hours later because of explosives planted in the building? Barry Jennings was there. He heard them go off and felt himself stepping over dead people. The U.S. Geological Survey conducted studies of dust gathered from 35 locations in Lower Manhattan and found elements that would not have been there had this not been a nuclear event. Ironically, that means the government's own evidence contradicts the government's official position. 9/11 was brought to us compliments of the CIA, the neocons, and the Department of Defense, and the Mossad. Don't let yourself be played. Read America Nuked on 9/11. Available at moonrockbooks.com. That's moonrockbooks.com.
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and freedomslips.com, its staff, or affiliates. You're listening to Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
This is Jim Fetzer, your host on The Raw Deal, with a second in an ongoing series of simulcasts with A Perfect Triangle, hosted by Giuseppe Papandrulo and David Scorpio, who regularly feature Chris Weinert on the show. Today we have as our mutual guest Russ Winter and also Eric Thompson. Just to pick up where we left off, I think it was very reasonable that the bad guys would be using Israel as their pilot project because the Israelis have such a tight control on the nation that it's a relatively small population, and they could see how they could work their magic in imposing the constraints, in pressuring the population to conform to and accept the coronavirus. I therefore conclude they've been very upset that there's a vocal population, subpopulation within Israel that's been speaking out about it and issued a formal complaint to the International Criminal Court that I predict, because they are violating the Nuremberg Code by not making this voluntary, by not making an informed consent, by not explaining all the risks and the hazards associated with the vaccine, by not spelling out the alternatives, which include HCQ and Inversectin. We will discuss more of those. I believe there's an excellent prospect. In fact, I predict that The Hague, the criminal court, will accept the complaint and will rule in favor that these are violations of the Nuremberg Code. Russ, we're so delighted you're here and can stick for the second hour. The floor is yours. Russ, you may have...
Got it. I'll come back. I switched off the mute. Okay. I had wanted to broach this with Giuseppe because I had asked him to submit an article. He's written a series of excellently received articles at Winter Watch on the COVID. And I asked him to weigh in on the Vernon Cole presentation, the Dale
Victory. I should have that for you tomorrow.
Let's get a jump on it. What do you think? I mean, this is... this is the where the rubber meets the road right now, because this vaccine thing is picking up. I mean, everybody I talk about is weighing it. Well, how long should I hold out? I need to travel. Coming up with the, not full information about what this vaccine might entail. And to listen to these guys, it sounds like it might destroy your immune system or make it hyperactive. Is that kind of how it works?
Right. It creates a hardwired, essentially, antibody response that when the natural coronavirus really mutates, like, for example, an iPhone, if you go from your operating system 14.0 to 14.1, it's not a big deal. But if it goes from 14.0 to 15, that's a major change. That's the kind of mutation that will trigger the hardwiring to go berserk. And essentially, your body will attack itself, and it's called a cytokine storm, and you have massive inflammation, and your lungs swell up, your heart swells up, your liver clogs, your kidneys choke, and it's just a horrible way to die. And there's nothing that can really be done because you've hardwired your body to react this way. And
it's something that doesn't show up for a little while, correct? I mean, you're not going to necessarily see it right away, but the next time you're attacked by some infection or illness, it kicks in.
Right, correct. Like the next flu season, yes.
Right, absolutely right. Or a next major natural mutation of the coronavirus. It's one of those two things. Absolutely right. And Jim, I will acknowledge that the Nuremberg court, if there's any sanity, which is basically a show court, the world court, Hague has no power, and it's all a show. But if they do rule, that would be a potential positive. But what I wonder is, why is it that these Israelis did not go to their own court system? And why is it that all of a sudden they're up in the Nuremberg? Because the people who developed the Pfizer injection are dual citizens and could easily be tried in Israeli courts.
Well, I agree with all that, all of the above. And the fact that they don't have an enforcement mechanism doesn't weaken the symbolic significance that what's going on here is a violation of international law, which is a precedent for other nations to apply in accordance with their own due process and laws and statutes. So I think you are undervaluing the significance of what's going on here. Let me reiterate how the Pfizer CEO, Albert Bourla, B-O-U-R-L-A, admits Israel is the world's lab. Here's a quote. "I believe Israel has become the world's lab right now because they're using only our vaccine at this state, and they have vaccinated a very big part of their population. So we can study both economy and health indices. And of course, the last estimate I had was 53% of Israelis have taken the shot." The question, of course, that Russ raises his friends, how long should they put off? The answer is forever if you care about your life and your well-being. Yeah, Giuseppe, go ahead more.
Jim, I want to add something real quick, please.
Sure.
Yeah, in regards to the international court here, I hope you're right, but let's remember that, the ICC was formed in the aftermath of World War I to punish Germany. And, it's strongly tied to the United Nations. It was tied to the League of Nations before World War II. And then after World War II, again, it was used to punish Germany. And given that it's so closely tied to the United Nations, I just find it unlikely that they're going to contradict the most important agenda that the United Nations has ever tried to pull off. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, look, I'm not an infallible source here. It seems to me the evidence is so bloody clear. Anyone reading the blog at jamesvetzer.org, I think, will see the evidence is overwhelming and clear cut. And if they can't stand up for the Nuremberg Code, then they're meaningless. They are just a sop. So this is a test of the court, just as it was a test of the Supreme Court when they were presented with a Texas lawsuit. Now, the Supreme Court of the United States failed. I am hoping that this International Court of Justice for the World does not. Chris, your thoughts. Do we have Chris? Eric?
Yeah, I'm here. Sorry, the screen flipped on me when I went to pick up the thing. Sorry about that, man. It's like a waiter. They always ask me something when I'm taking a bite. I'm listening to what you guys are saying. Yeah, I think there's something serious going on here. And, man, I was kind of – wasn't really paying attention to exactly everything that you just said to comment on that. But you want to give me a little bit more of what you guys were laying in?
That's okay, Chris. Eric, your thoughts.
Yeah, sure. Yeah. Well, the difference between the Supreme Court failure and the International Criminal Court is that the International Criminal Court at least took the case. That's a plus. Yeah. The Vernon Coleman, I follow him daily, too. I love him. Very intelligent man and he's actually funny. He puts humor in his videos, although lately he's been a lot more somber. But he was talking about that, about how the body's immune system is going to be. What he came out with the other day was something that was, those taking the vaccines are endangering everybody else because the virus is going to get stronger somehow, mutate and become stronger. And I actually, for the first time, I was a little puzzled by something Vernon Coleman had said. So I wanted to comment on that. That is that where the virus can't be COVID, because I don't believe it exists. Honestly, I really don't. It's just a coronavirus, right? So if it's a coronavirus that's getting stronger because of these vaccines that people are taking, I don't really understand why the coronavirus is going to get that much stronger. But if we don't take vaccines, our immune system should still adapt to it. I don't see how we're going to get a coronavirus so potent that it's going to wipe out the human race, as Vernon Coleman was implying it might. He was actually very scared the other day in his report that people are going to, even those of us who don't take the immunization, are going to get overwhelmed by a virus that's been strengthened so much by those who got the vaccination. I honestly don't think that's going to happen. I think that the vaccination is only going to hurt the people that take the vaccination. And I don't know. I would invite Giuseppe
Eric's not factoring in is between 300 and 500 billion with a B is spent by the U.S. government and the U.S. military and U.S. big pharma to develop gain of function mutations. They are constantly, as is China, as is Russia, as is every first world military.
When you finish recording, you may hang up
company,
or press 1 for more options. To leave a callback number, press 5.
Go ahead.
As is every first world company, they've developed weapons. What was released a year ago was an attenuated bioweapon. And so that's what Dr. Vernon Coleman fears. If this were just the coronavirus naturally in the wild, nobody would worry, because the chances of it really mutating into a dangerous thing are ridiculously low, just like the chances of a zootropic species jump, like from bats to humans, is ridiculously low. It only happens maybe once every 1,000 years, but when you're doing it in a laboratory thousands of times a week, you cheat time and you create these gain of function bioweapons. So that's what's freaking everybody out. And I would urge you to revisit the fact that you don't believe it exists. It exists, and that bioweapon is real.
But the thing that kind of alarmed me, if it exists,
I mean, how come it hasn't been isolated? That's what I don't understand. It's either been isolated or it hasn't. I mean, it was admitted by the CDC that they couldn't. Someone was asking for it the other day, a group of lawyers. A group of doctors. I saw this the other day. It's another doctor. He's not a doctor, a researcher in a university. I think he's even kind of local to me here, somewhere close, but he's working with a bunch of them, and they're around the country, and they are working with, well, they're working on the coronavirus and the COVID issue. And when they asked the CDC to provide I don't know what it is they have to ask for, but the proof that it exists and the total breakdown of of the strand.
Yeah,
they said genetic, we don't have it.
Genetic sequencing. Yeah.
Yeah, and they said we don't have it. Sorry, can't give you that.
The thing that seemed to catch the attention of Bigtree and Coleman was the emergence of this Gates Foundation vaccine expert, Gert van der Bosch, who's come around to the same point of view. And that one caught my attention.
Yeah, he appears to be the leading expert in the world, or among them. I mean, that he's speaking out is very important. Elaborate, Russ.
Well, he just basically is on board with the theory that Giuseppe just gave us, that it'll either mutate and or create some kind of a immune response that's problematic for the individual being vaccinated.
And what?
Let me just add a word here about evolution, okay? Yes, mutation is one of the causal mechanisms to produce diversity, but so too is natural selection. What you got here is an environment that includes an element presumably hostile, in this case, to the virus. The viruses that can cope with it survive and reproduce. This is typical throughout nature, natural selection. And what you have going on, of course, with the introduction of the vaccine is a form of artificial manipulation of the environment. This is a form of genetic engineering that can change a species not through natural evolutionary mechanisms, but by design, which is what we're up against most certainly with regard to the vaccine, but where it looks as though we're very much going through a similar pattern to Anthony, Tony the Rat Fauci with HIV and, and the AIDS, Giuseppe.
Well, what Eric and some really bright people like John Rappaport, Dr. Tom Cowan, and others claim is the idea that it's a virus and that's what's causing it. It's not living up to what's called Koch's postulates, which is you should be able to isolate it. You should be able to introduce it into another human being and get the same disease sick effect. And that's an interesting point, but it's not the point. The point is they spend hundreds of billions of dollars on these bioweapons, and they do create contagions, mutated contagions. And it's not really salient that if it can subscribe to Koch's postulate, because the level of sophistication in these genetic modeling 3D labs, much like there's 3D printers, they can create from a genetic strand, a messenger RNA strand that they create, they can create the weapon just from that. They don't even have to have it be in nature anymore. That's how Frankensteinian this crime against humanity is. So that's an interesting point, and it's great to discuss, but the point is they are spending obscene amounts of money on bioweapons, and every a sham pandemic that they've tried to create the last 40 years to usher in a global vaccine program has been developed that way. Bird flu, swine flu, AIDS, the SARS, MERS, and now SARS-CoV-2, they have all been developed in a lab as weapons and then, oops, accidentally released into public, including Ebola in 2014. Do you know now that they have been able to create both a non-deadly and a super deadly version of Ebola? So the idea of Koch's postulate and these guys, it doesn't exist. You're deluding yourself. That's a fascinating discussion, but it's not the salient point to be looking at. What you have to look at is the giant bioweapon industry.
Good stuff.
And then coupled with that is this the policies they've used to essentially diminish the immune systems of the entire population of the world.
Right.
By wearing dirty masks. I mean, come on. Who's changing their mask every day? You get dirt in there, and it's just...
Oh, not only that, but it promotes bacterial pneumonia infections, Russ, and it turns out that Fauci and colleagues did a study of the Spanish flu in the early 20th century, which killed tens of millions and discovered most of the deaths were not from the flu, but from bacterial pneumonia, which is promoted by wearing face masks. So you know where he stands when he's telling us, don't wear just one, wear two. I mean, the face masks or a slow way to kill us. The vaccines are faster. And then with Bill Gates buying up 250,000 acres of American farmland, they're going to squeeze the food supply. So to fulfill the Deagle projection, starvation may be the primary causal mechanism. Let me just add, we're going to take callers at the bottom of the hour. The number 540-352-4452, 540-352-4452. Scott in San Diego, you're welcome to call back at the bottom of the hour. Russ, continue.
Well, then I'd also add the lack of sunshine. I mean, you know, these northern climates where I am right now in Europe, it just don't get that much sun. And I'm just locked up too much. And you have to really force yourself to go outside in the wintertime anyway to get fresh air. So you're getting a lot of people that are just getting lazy. And, you know, you get a little bit depressed. And so when you get a little bit depressed, you start, you know, neglecting yourself a little bit. So you have to really pump yourself up to realize that we're being set up for an immune response reaction to an infection. That's kind of how I see it.
Russ, yeah, you're spot on because all the techniques are inducing upon us that they're promoting wearing face masks, social distancing, lockdowns, staying inside. Those all weaken our immune system. So the point you're making is impeccable. Who's next?
Scorpio wanted to jump in. Scorpio.
Oh, yeah, okay.
Go for it, Scorpio. Scorpio.
You're muted, Scorpio.
I just wanted to add one quick thing, which is, you know, this needs to be inserted in the conversation here, which is the concept of virus attenuation. Look it up. Virus attenuation is a very well-known scientific fact, which states that viruses almost always become less virulent as they mutate. Yet somehow that is out the window. It doesn't exist anymore. And the only assumption now is that every mutation of this so-called virus is going to be worse than the one before. And if virus attenuation didn't exist as a scientific fact, we'd already all be dead a long time ago. And I'll just add one other thing that, you know, I'm not 100% convinced that this is a viral infection, because why would parasite drugs work on it so well, like ivermectin and hydroxychloroquine? So I think there's a lot of mysteries around this. And just because they tell us it's a virus, it could be a bacterial infection. It could be some kind of a blood parasite. We really don't know. And I'm not saying it's not a virus. I just don't think we should assume that's what it is. That's all.
I think that's an excellent point. Excellent point, Scorpio. Chris, your thoughts.
Yeah, you got to also think about, I don't know if this is relevant or not, but whether there's a virus or not, they're still jamming you with these vaccines and these mutant RNA recombinants and even nanotech and other things of that nature. And you could become a super spreader and really jeopardize things for other people just through that. So a lot of the Spanish flu really was, the illnesses followed the vaccination program, not the other way around. Do you know what I mean? So I think that those numbers, when they ramp up, they're going to be used in such a manner to psychologically dissociate the truth away from the reality and or the reality away from the perception, I should say, and really try to manipulate people in fear and make it look like, say, the people refusing the vax are the reason why the thing is spreading. And it's really the people getting the vax that are spreading it like wildfire. So, yeah, I think that they're really crossing a Rubicon in terms of hubris here. And the people, the billionaires, the robber barons that are in charge of these operations, they're all working towards the same goal. And like you said, Fetz, it's almost like they're trying to replace the U.S. Constitution with the Georgia Guidestones.
There's a
bit of breaking news that everybody will most certainly want to react to. The Epoch Times is an excellent, real journalistic conservative source. I get their emails, and they just sent out a news alert. And the headline reads, World Health Organization scientist, open quotes, no documented death, close quotes, linked to COVID-19 vaccines. Can you believe that?
Linked to the vaccines? That's idiotic.
I know. Can you believe that?
They're censoring everyone.
Yeah.
Well, they're censoring people. This is the digital Holocaust, people.
They death protest too loudly.
Yeah.
You know what bothers me, Giuseppe, is the Epoch Times is a pretty good source, but that story is completely absurd and indefensible, outrageous. Eric.
I think that's why they're running it, to point out that.
I think they're they're reporting on it that the WHO said that.
Exactly. The WHO
it's not
said
the Epoch Times opinion.
Right.
I don't think they came up with that. They're just reporting it because I don't think they believe it either, that it should be that way.
Exactly.
Obviously, they don't report any of these deaths as being associated with the vaccine, no matter how ridiculously obvious it is. It's mind-blowing. What I had been meaning to talk about was what Scorpio just talked about, the ivermectin and the hydroxychloroquine. Obviously, if these are working so well and they don't really deal with viruses, then I don't know if we're dealing with a virus at all. It seems pretty strange. It's like maybe the reason that they're trying to cut out, well, besides the money, the reason they're trying to cut out use of these drugs is that maybe they're relying on it being a bacterial infection and they're misleading everyone to think it's a virus. In any case, the mRNA is not a vaccine even. So I'm not even sure that strengthens the body's immune response over, I suppose, over immunized, which is one theory as to how I got diabetes when I was 11. I had an overactive immune system and it attacked my own pancreas somehow. So I know how that goes. I've heard the story since I was a kid. I'm still not sure that they really know what they're talking about sometimes, but the ivermectin, and this is exactly what I was going to say. So Scorpio took my line, but that's good. The ivermectin and hydroxychloroquine, are they not going to work after these new hyper-mutated strains come out? Or maybe those things will still work because maybe it's not really a virus.
I would expect they would still work, and that they've saved hundreds, even thousands, maybe hundreds of thousands of lives. I've taken HCQ myself, and we had physician after physician, each of whom had hundreds of patients, saying how they'd use HCQ and they cured all of their patients, even those who were severely advanced enough to be hospitalized. I think out of 500, one physician said he lost exactly one. But they don't make money for big pharma. And the multiplicity of agendas coming from, say, the World Economic Forum, which wants to use this to gain control of the whole world through the Great Reset and depopulate Earth's population by a staggering percentage. But where we also have the profit motive at work, remember, for Bill Gates, every vaccines are a business. The idea of having the world require the new vaccine and then have follow-ups is a wet dream for big pharma. Okay, right back.
Hey, Fetch, you can also say Trump is the one that tried to defund the World Health Organization and CDC funding from the U.S., so that's one good thing he did there.
Yeah, Chris, I don't know quite where we stand here. I got to check with Mitchell. We may still be alive. He may have killed the... Very good.
Yeah, he did.
Stopped
he killed
the break.
Him. Yeah.
He stopped the break. So we're good. Go ahead. Go ahead, Chris. Add that remark. We'll continue our conversation, but we will take calls now. So if anyone wants to call in, 540-352-4452, Mitchell will field your call. Scott from San Diego, go ahead and call back, Scott. We'll be glad to take your call. Continue, Chris.
I just was pointing out that, I'm surprised you didn't say it, actually, Fetz, that Trump was, I think, suggested the defunding of the World Health Organization, the CDC, from, all federal funds.
Yeah.
So something to point out, too, that maybe that was part of the schism where, he broke from that and did the right thing, and maybe they really pushed the
button. Yes, he took us out, and Biden put us back in. I mean, it's outrageous. It's like they're mucking up the border. I mean, this is a colossal problem where Trump had it under control. But they're so eager to get all these immigrants in here because they think they're going to vote Democratic, and because Trump mopped the floor with them in 2020, they're doing everything they can to strengthen the Democratic Party hold, no matter how damaging it may be to the United States. Eric, your thoughts.
Well, I was just going to, I wanted to say that Trump is an enigma. I had something up here from State of the Nation. Where is that? Yeah, why is Trump promoting the coronavirus vaccine? So he was, this is from Bloomberg, I guess, said he would urge his supporters and others wary of the coronavirus vaccine to get it. you know, yeah, he did say that Bruce.
He said it on Maria Bartiromo just yesterday. I watched. I was dismayed to hear him say those words. Go ahead.
Yeah, he's very strange. He's very enigmatic. I mean, he does good things, and pulling us out of the WHO was a good idea, a great idea. And why does he come out then and say something like this? I mean,
Russ,
I don't know.
Yeah, I like that. I like that. Eric, Russ, what are your thoughts?
Well, I'll just shift a little bit towards this war scenario, which I think is – might be looming out there, that the Biden is doing sanctions apparently around election interference and accusing China, Russia, and Iran. So bringing that little narrative back into play,
and it's just absurd,
right? And the thing is that the United States is now clearly in a very weak position. We're not a big we don't carry the big stick around the world anymore. We're kind of I think we're becoming a secondary power, the way that they're taking the country, all these institutions around the country down rapidly, and to kind of hang yourself out there and start really messing around with China and Russia at this stage seems very, very reckless. I mean, that's the kind of stuff that leads to your world war, and we'll get our asses kicked. And once the United States starts getting their asses kicked in real combat and real warfare, that's their excuse to really clamp down on the population under the cover of war. That's where you really start committing the greatest abuses. It's certainly happened in World War II. It happened in the Vietnam War. You know, that's where the weird stuff starts to happen. And that might be the biggest threat of all.
Yeah.
Well, Russ, that's been one of the theories that's been promoted by, several people, including Joel Skousen, that the plan is to intentionally lose a war with China and Russia that will catapult us into a world government. And, I'm not saying I subscribe to that theory, but there's a lot of evidence to, support some of those assertions, given that we're, putting trannies and homosexuals and women at the top positions of power within the military, which is certainly bad for morale. To have an elite fighting force, it has to be sort of a brotherhood of men that push each other to higher and higher achievement. And that's not going to happen with a tranny in the unit. Sorry.
Well, the whole idea of women in combat, I served 4 years in the Marine Corps, a lot of that aboard Navy ships, and the idea of having women on combat vessels is completely absurd. You have a small number of women on a ship full of horny guys, and they're thinking about pussy. They're not thinking about their battle stations and combat and all that. It's literally as stupid as it's on the order of defund. In terms of the military, this is on the order of defund the police. I mean, it's just that stupid, profoundly stupid. Russ, your thought?
Michelle Obama, for crying out loud.
Yeah.
Maybe since I'm kind of an older guy, I have a misconception on this, but I thought testosterone was really a big thing for the military. You had to be kind of high testosterone. And I've seen some statistics on that they've driven down the testosterone levels big time. And everybody's turned into a metrosexual.
Well, I've got makeup on.
Giuseppe, did you want to add on that? We do have a caller here.
Well, I'll just quickly interject that, Russ. That's been a 40, 50-year plan to introduce bisphenol A into everything, which is an estrogen mimic. And same with trying to tell people to eat soy is healthy, soy milk, soybeans. Soy is another estrogen mimic, like 40 times what you really need. And the only type of soy that's good for the human body is fermented soy, like miso and soy sauce. And so you're absolutely right that, we used to have real men in this country, and now we have soy boys, and I don't even know what the current descriptions are, but good point.
I guess the new military is going to be like the Folkstorm at the end of World War II, 1945 Germany.
Right.
We've got a caller from the 720 area code. Caller, give us your name and your state and join the conversation. 720.
Hey, this is Sal in Colorado.
Okay,
and,
Sal.
Hi, everybody. Russ, Giuseppe, Eric. Jim,
Scorpio, and Chris. Yeah, it's a big crew today. Go ahead, Sal.
All right. Well, Trump just said in a Fox interview with Maria Bartiromo, everybody's got to go get the vaccine. Yeah, well, no, won't be doing that. And we, I've heard from you, Jim, and others that his son, Barron, is autistic. I'm not sure to what degree of autism he has, but
yes.
The fact is Trump knows that this stuff is bad. They've gotten through to him, get him to tell everybody to go out and get this, which is really terrible. I hate it.
Yeah, I was very distressed when he made those observations. Very. Chris, your thoughts?
Yeah, I agree. I think that Trump has always been an enigma, as the other caller had said. And you know, a lot of the signals he puts out really, they ring alarm bells. You know, I mean, whether it's you knew he was a snake when you let him in, or, you know, the Israel First cabinet and really, you know, the stuff he did with like BlackRock and the U.S. Treasury and the sensationalized media that was putting out this theatrical persecution of him while ignoring many, many real crucial issues. And it seems like they were doing it for both sides. It seems to be like a gentleman's agreement. If you're familiar with like Oscar Wilde and the Marquess of Queensberry, it's a very similar thing with the Gentleman's Club, where they have the rules of conduct and public behavior. And I think that they're really averting these type of scandal issues and ascribing absurdities and theatrics to take their place.
Eric and then Russ. Eric.
Well, on the Trump thing, I mean, as a you know, long time conspiracy theorist, when Trump first started running for president, you know, you could see all over the place. Truthers were throwing up videos showing how it had been predicted on The Simpsons. All right, like they predicted so many things—the 9/11 and thing after thing after thing—and there's Trump years ago being shown on the same escalator in Trump Tower, the same escalator he stood on when he announced his presidency, wearing the same tie and the same coat. That does tend to imply that he was like meant to be put in there by the powers that be. I really can't explain it any other way. That's why everything he does is an enigmatic to me. It's very strange. Like he does some good things and then he does something bizarre, like appease Israel with the move to Jerusalem, the capital to Jerusalem. I mean, what is the embassy to Jerusalem? I'm sorry, but what is he doing? Who is he? It's very bizarre.
Russ, your thoughts. Russ.
There's a false razor out there that they convey a lot that everybody should be familiar with. It might explain this enigma situation. And it's called Hanlon's razor. And Hanlon's razor says, never attribute to malice what you can attribute to incompetence. That's bullshit. That's a bullshit made-up razor.
Yeah.
There's plenty of malice out there.
That doesn't cut the mustard.
Yeah. Okay, Giuseppe, your thoughts.
I just think the caller's bringing up some excellent points, and we should dedicate an entire show to the predictive programming, especially in the symptoms. It's just beyond coincidence yeah. that yes. there's thousands yeah. of
Family
times.
Guy
Family Guy, The Simpsons, though, is stunning how much they put in The Simpsons.
How about the Illuminati card game?
Right. Yeah.
There's a card called The Imposter. That came out in 1995, and it shows the imposter has a face mask, and it's coming. You know, you can see the line coming down halfway on his neck.
Scorpio, do you want to add a thought before I bring in a second caller? Go ahead, Scorpio. Otherwise, I'm going to bring in area code 818-818. Caller, give us your name and your state, and join the conversation. 818.
Hey guys, can you hear me?
Yes.
I'm from California. I just had to let you know what happened to me recently. I was flying back from out of state. What, 3,000 mile elevated up, right? How far does a plane go up when you fly? I don't even know exactly, but I looked out the window, and this was during the day, and I saw these planes zooming by that were releasing black smoke. So we talk about what this COVID shit is. I believe that it is definitely a bioweapon of some sort. they're spraying it from above. There's something happening because that was not a regular plane that was flying. I have video that I could send you. This was insane. And then I look out in the distance and I saw the same thing. They were releasing this black substance, and that was not of the plane at all.
Well, you would have been at around 30,000 feet in all probability. Chris, you want to comment on this?
Yeah, there's been many testimonies of like airflow whistleblowers. I believe you had one on your show before, Fetz, who testified about chemtrails and some of the stuff that's being put in the strontiums, the aluminums, and nanometals. Think about how these things, when they store themselves in the human body, can be manipulated through like 5G or other type of weaponry, digital, magnetic, scalar, or things we don't even necessarily know of, and can be even necessarily attributed to things like respiratory illnesses. And then when people go to the hospital, they get put on a ventilator and probably murdered by this whole thing with guys, Thresher, we'll just say, and nothing's ever done. Nothing's ever investigated. Nothing can even be mentioned in the media. There's no counter narrative. Right. Allowed. Nothing without censorship. Everybody with a story is a COVID misinformation agent. This is crazy. This is a mass hysteria that they're trying to invoke. And if people allow
this, this is absolutely insane. Why is nobody talking about, like you said, Chris, the planes, even the chemtrails, the regular ones that you see, this has been going on for years. The media has been silent.
Yes.
It's just outrageous.
And I'd like to see that video. Could you email that video? I'd really like to see that video.
Yes, I will. What's your email? Is it the info@needtoknow.com? Is that what
Yeah,
it is?
Sure. That'll get to me. Absolutely.
Yeah, and okay. I think the caller's making a good point here. You know, I received an email from a listener earlier in the week, and he said that back in 2018, there was some strange spraying going on off the coast of England, and he said that after this spraying happened, people immediately had reactions to it, and then he said he personally got so sick, and all the symptoms matched the so-called COVID of today, where he had no sense of smell, no taste. And he said it happened right after some very suspicious spraying was going on right off the coast of England. So I think there's something to it with the caller's implying here. And we don't know how this so-called contagion is being spread. I don't think we should believe a word they tell us, though.
I just exactly. add that every square foot of American, or every cubic foot of American airspace is covered by radar. The U.S. military, the Air Force, knows everything that's going on in the skies. That means they have known about the chemtrails forever. The best reports I've seen about it is the Air Force itself is spreading the chemtrails. We have another caller here from area code 408. 408, join the conversation. Give us your first name and your state.
Well, Jim, I just want to finish that point, what you just said about the military. If the military has known all these years, then how in the hell are we even expected for the military to come save us from this thing that's happening with Trump? I mean, the military's in control, like Scorpio always says. That's absolute horseshit, because if they're spraying us, if they've known about this for years, then we are on our own with everything.
You raise a good point. Area code 408, please join the conversation. Name and state only.
Yeah, thanks. It's a great show. It's Paul, California. You know that, Jim. I think you recognize my number by now. You know, as far as I can, how should I say, ferret this out? If viruses don't make you sick all the days of your life that you're well, which is a vast, overwhelming majority, then what are they doing? You know, this is the thing that I keep coming back to. I would love to propose a show with Thomas Cowan, with Andrew Kaufman, with Sophia Smallstorm. I've been saving up my money, and of course I've been winning some bets from you, Jim, and I'd be willing to pay them a small honoraria just to be on the show, as long as, for example, Scorpio and I could be on the bench ready to bring our comments to bear. I watched a three-hour-plus thing on BitChute the other night from the 1990s, a guest on the Bill Cooper show, and he went into the whole thing about the infection theory of disease and how he said the phrase, which I borrowed, that disease causes virus. I would modify it and say that disease brings forth virus. I don't think that viruses are fully understood. I don't care how much money is allegedly spent. And Giuseppe, with all due respect, to say that these players...
You're wrong. You're wrong. That whole thing is wrong.
Just to say that these people spend all this money doesn't mean anything. It's not a form of an argument. NASA spends all kinds of money, and they're a fraud. We could go on and on with this kind of logic. I may indeed be wrong. I may indeed be wrong, but here's the thing that I can't get away from. All my life I've been well. My dad was well all his life till his 90s. I took him to the hospital multiple times only to be fixed by saline solution. This is the truth for the overwhelming majority of people in this world. So, again, if viruses
Well, that's where we agree. It's totally your immune function. You're absolutely right. Even now, you have to optimize your immune function. You're right. I mean, I shouldn't say you're wrong. I should say I disagree. There is a contagion. There are bioweapons. I mean, that's not the salient discussion point. But what is what you just said. It's the immune function. You're right.
Paul,
Go ahead, Jim.
Paul, by coincidence, Sophia will be my guest on Monday, the 22nd.
Well, great, because I believe she has one of the preeminent minds on this topic. She's the one that sent me in the direction that I went. I'm not saying that I have all the wisdom in the world. Jim, earlier in the show, you said something about not having a crystal ball or something like that. But I think you can come to certain conclusions. I think the things that Scorpio has said over time over the last few months on his show and other places are correct, that we don't really, in my opinion, have the proper footing to look at this thing. And we're looking at it correctly when we think the shot is a bioweapon and it's meant to do us harm. There's zero doubt about that. Trump is not an enigma. If you follow what Russ has said and written about, I believe he has the most correct take on it, that Trump is either scared into doing something or he's bought and paid for it. Mm-hmm. And he's been here to make us embrace this learned helplessness and disappointment in him. We're always disappointed in him. That's what they want.
Well, it's a great call, Paul. Let me give Russ a chance to respond, and then we have yet another caller standing by. Russ.
Yeah, I made my views known on Trump a long time ago, but Trump's gone, so I don't know that we should necessarily be focused on him when you got a guy like Biden that's rolling the dice on a war. So it's time to shift. It's just time to shift focus, and even I'm willing to kind of quit throwing at my anger at Trump. He's history. I hope he doesn't have much influence.
Giuseppe, did you want to follow up on Russ before I bring in our next?
I think, Paul, I shouldn't have jumped in like that. I apologize for saying you wrong. Mm-hmm. All opinions are valid in a discussion. I think that there is a malevolence to this, and we don't understand the contagion. And I think they're right. It could be a combination of poisoning us with parasites, with contaminants in these injections, contaminants in the air, contaminants everywhere. And I mean, the virus discussion is a fascinating discussion, and I love that stuff. But we're under attack. That's, I think, where we can all agree that they're doing something to murder people, and that's the salient point we need to band together over.
Our next caller, Scaredy Cat, join the conversation, Scaredy.
Hi, Jim. Hi, Giuseppe. Chris Scorpio. Hi, Russ. Eric, back from San Diego. Hi, Mitch. Hi, Paul.
Okay.
From California.
Too many names.
We're running out of time here.
Yes, I know, Paul. Hello is hello. Very important to keep bonds open and happy. Jim, actually, I'm going to rain a little bit on your sunny optimism, I'm afraid to say. I'm afraid you're going to be played again by what it is grasping at straws in order to see any glimmer of hope that the good guys are going to win when you talk about, quote, Israelis, Jews within Israel doing something at the international court, because the example that Gilad Atzmon, he calls himself an ex-Jew, he lived all his life in stolen Palestine. The example he gives is JVP, Jewish Voices for Peace, and he uses that discussion to show that Jews take over all sides of all arguments and show themselves to be heroes. and they take over the leadership of every subject. So the JVP, just as an analogy, took over the harm being done to Palestine and its Palestinians, Muslims, Palestinians, Christians. And what, after years of doing this, the result was perfectly clear, Gilad Asmon says, is that they just suppressed any benefit. They show up as the hero. Yeah, we're talking about it. So everybody else, you guys shut up because we are the most concerned. Just like we are the best at everything, we are the most heroic and we're going to help everybody the best. But that is a ruse to actually keep themselves as the tyrants or whatever, the most powerful people, unrightfully, unrighteously. And
very nice point.
It might seem irrelevant for me to talk about a land, a country on the other side of the planet, but we have to realize we are defeated. And I think Germany is the most defeated nation on the face of the earth. Italy has 40 USA American bases. They are a defeated nation. And we have to realize that World War III is not going to happen, and we can't run around with our heads cut off like chickens' heads, you know, off around the grass randomly, thinking, oh, World War III is going to happen. They're going to happen. It's already happened. We might just say the Great War happened 100 years ago. What we call World War I, World War II, those were just chapters. And so I think we can gain a lot of strength by saying, okay, we are prisoners of war. Now let's see how we can cut through the barbed wire and win. So with that attitude, and Winter Watch, I think, you know, on Jim's blog, you publicized and advertised Mr. John Manley's 20 Reasons That Masks Are Bad. The technical yes. title is. Similarly, I vaguely had heard of Winter Watch, but never looked into it. And now I'm going to look into it to read Giuseppe's articles, because we need things in pamphlet form. The John Manley's 20 Reasons Masks Are Bad. I talk to somebody every day. I always try to go into a little restaurant instead of like a Big Mac, you know, at McDonald's, not a big corporation, so that I can meet somebody and just casually say, hey, guys, what do you think of the mask? And then if I have a pamphlet in my hand, I can give it to the boy. And all the young generation are so misled, and we have to have so much love, sympathy, charity, understanding for them, and not beat them on the head.
I believe Winter Watch
has a similar thing for in pamphlet form. I believe I have not read it, but I'm going to go to it in order to find Giuseppe's article in pamphlet form for the actual injections and vaccinations. So John Manley's thing is good for masks.
Try a winter watch to query these young guys and how many blacks they think that the police have. Unarmed blacks that think the police have killed. Try that one on them. That's a good exercise.
Let me pick up on Scaredy
What's
Cat.
What's the actual name of the website?
Winterwatch.net. That's my site.
Let me pick up on Scaredy Cat's observation about the article on 20 reasons why masks are damaging. I want to encourage everyone out there listening to this show to track that down. I think it's on page 3 now of my blog. And use that as a resource to write to mayors, to your representatives in your state, your governor. Tell them this face mask business is very damaging, especially to children. That's something you can do. We're coming toward the end. Eric, I want to give you a chance for a few final words.
Yeah, sure. Yeah. Well, the first caller that we talked about the odd chemtrails, it was interesting that they were black. We've had loads of the white chemtrails, and if she was in a plane, I don't know if they were above her or below her, but if they were below her, they should certainly have appeared light if they were normal. So that was interesting, and what it reminded me of is that, of course, she was bringing it up in the context of the virus, and I just want to remind people that in 1950, the U.S. Navy tested bioweapons on the citizens of San Francisco for a full week. And they just pumped stuff into the fog, and it floated in, and they were studying it. And I don't think anyone ever had to pay for that. So they're not afraid to test this stuff on us. They've been doing it a long time, 1950. Crap, that was just barely after the war, you know?
Yeah, how about when they sprayed lithium all over Seattle and Portland?
I mean, it's just disgusting. They don't seem to care. And the other thing, but as it is the military on our side, I keep hearing there's the white hats and the black hats, and there's two sections. I'm holding out on that. I don't know. And then finally, the last thing I need to say is the only reason that this stuff can be happening is the media. If people were informed like we're informed, this couldn't be happening. It'd be nice to focus on a way to break up the big media.
Yeah, I agree completely. Eric, let me say you've been terrific today. I'm so glad you were here. I intend to have you back. Russ, you've done a terrific job. I'm so glad you stuck for the second hour. Would you like to offer some closing observations?
No, I've really enjoyed the session. For me to hold out for 2 hours is really something.
You did a great job. Giuseppe, your final thoughts.
I think that the simulcasts are exciting, and we just need to work out a better flow so people aren't stepping on each other all the time. But this is a great new format, and I'm honored to be part of it and want to thank everybody for joining in.
Scorpio, your final thoughts. Scorpio, your final thoughts. If Scorpio's not here, Chris, I'd ask you to have to be really concise. Can you do it? You got like 30 seconds.
Go, Scorpio.
I was just saying, yeah, good conversation, and I enjoyed it. Thank you.
Yeah, terrific. I think we're all real happy doing these simulcasts. Seemed much better than have us pitted against one another in the same time slot on Studio A and Studio B. So we're going to be doing this in the future, and we hope you will join us. We'll bring on other wonderful guests like Eric Thompson and Russ Winter to join us. And thanks for all the calls. They were excellent uniformly. And let me just add a word to Mitchell, our producer, who makes these things happen. Meanwhile, check out my blog. Check out that article about 20 reasons face masks are damaging. Do something about it. Protect the children. Protect our legacy. America is under attack. Thanks for listening. We'll be back next week with another simulcast on Wednesday. And, of course, The Raw Deal will be here on Friday and Monday with Sophia Smallstorm.
Thank you for listening to Revolution Radio.
Como va? This is Giuseppe from the District of Criminals. I pulled some strings and gotten you front row seats to my new show, The Perfect Triangle. Live Friday, 6 to 8 p.m. Eastern Time on Revolution Radio Studio A. The perfect triangle is equilateral, three sides of the same length. In an angry, bipolar world, three perfect sides reveal many truths.
Body, mind, and spirit.
Thought, word, and deed.
Conspiracy, propaganda, and truth.
Natural health, allopathic tyranny, and your body.
Freedom, globalism, and sovereign nations.
And so much more. Each week, the perfect triangle will blast through fake news lies. Champion the natural way and natural law. Unravel the Orwellian deceptions of our corrupt government. Reveal the satanic evil of globalist banks and transnational corporations. Tune in every Friday, 6 p.m. Eastern, to Revolution Radio, Studio A, for thoughtful discussions with free thinkers. Your calls are always welcome. The Perfect Triangle, with Giuseppe from the District of Criminals. Join me, won't you?
This is Thomas, a.k.a. a Mad Painter. I'd like you to join me Monday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time for Open Canvas. Don't forget to bring an open mind.
Yes, folks, that's right. Bring an open mind to an open canvas. Again, that is Monday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern. UFOs to government corruption. This is Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. You don't need to expect us. We're already here.
We did not...